Grace, mercy, and peace be yours through God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you happened to be with us last week, you may remember that we had an opportunity to consider an interesting reading from the Gospels to begin our Advent journey. Jesus, an adult, near the end of his earthly ministry, was entering into Jerusalem on that Sunday before he would go to the cross for us. And we were reminded to consider that Jesus came not as the king we might expect, but as exactly the king we need. He surprises us with his humility. He leaves us speechless with his self-giving, sacrificial love poured out for us on a humiliating cross, that we might not die stuck in our sin, for us to save us. The God of the universe becomes small. In fact, he becomes nothing. He condescends to become a baby, to be laid in a manger. He travels from place to place with nowhere to lay his head, no permanent home to settle down in. And yet, as we consider God's word to us today from Isaiah chapter 40, we are reminded that the one we are talking about, this one who humbles himself, is truly and indeed God Almighty. This is no hero among heroes. This is not a local or national God in competition with other regional deities. He is in a class by himself with absolutely no equal. If he wants the world to see his greatness, he'll level mountains and fill valleys in order to do it. In the gospel reading, we hear of the announcement of a special prophet who will be born to prepare God's people for his arrival. He'll be the one that Isaiah talks about, the voice of one calling out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord." He'll come in the spirit and the power of Elijah as a truly special man of God. And yet, later in his life, as people ask him about his own identity, John the Baptist will come out and say that the one for whom he's preparing the way is so much greater than him that he is not even worthy to bend down and untie his shoes. In the event that you needed a level set this Advent season, perhaps this is it. This season doesn't exist to prepare us for the coming of a jolly old man delivering presents in a sleigh pulled by flying reindeer. The season of Advent exists to help us prepare for the coming of God, the one who spoke the universe into existence and who continues to sustain the universe by the power of his word. Jesus is mighty. We are lowly. He is infinitely large. We are small. He's the creator. We are his creatures. We get stuck, but he's able to level mountains and to fill valleys and to move heaven and earth to come and to rescue us. And this is our source of comfort. Our great comfort, the comfort that God desires to give you today through his word, the double comfort that Isaiah speaks about in our Old Testament reading when he says to God's people, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God," is that God, the mighty creator of the universe, the eternal one, comes to us for our good, to rescue us. The image is powerful, and it would have been powerful in God's Old Testament people's day as well. Isaiah 40 was meant to speak to God's people at a time where their hearts were at one of the lowest places in history. They were about to ultimately forsake God, worshiping cheap imitation idols, and God would allow them to be defeated by their enemies, to be deported, exiled to the distant country of Babylon. Their sin was going to lead to real consequences. It would not only lead to the removal of them from their homes, from their location, in many ways it would lead to their removal from their calling, their vocation, to be a light to the nations, to be a people through whom God was glorified in the world. They would be far from home. They would be far from relevancy. They would wonder if their lives were relegated to the garbage dump of history, had God forgotten them? Or if he hadn't, would he be angry with them forever? Or would he be willing to remove their sin and to do something about their situation? In Isaiah 40, we receive the answer. God will be willing, and he will be more than able. And that is what we celebrate during Advent, that we have a God who hasn't abandoned us as we deserve. We too live as exiles in a world that looks a whole lot more like Babylon than it does like heaven. In Advent, we sing a hymn like, O come, Emmanuel. And we remember that we also are captive Israel, people who still struggle with sin, although we struggle with hope because of what Jesus accomplished at his first coming. And now we're waiting, as the hymn says, for the Son of God to appear. But we rejoice. We rejoice because Emmanuel, God with us, will come to rescue us. He's promised. He's coming. He's willing to forgive, and he's more than able to save. He's willing to forgive our persistent tendencies toward idolatry, just as he forgave his people of old. You want to rob your life of comfort? You want to rob your life of assurance? Well, fix your hopes and dreams on an idol. Now, idolatry today might not look like worshiping statues, setting up Baal or Asherah or Molech like the people of old might have done. But nevertheless, we find ways to place our trust in a God that differs from the God who reveals himself in the Bible and in Jesus. How often do we elevate and trust in things that can't come through for us in the end? Perhaps you've heard the saying, someone comes to you and says, if you have your health, you have everything. Is that true? Health comes and goes. But even for those who have it, even for those who enjoy it, those people can feel like their lives are empty and hollow and meaningless. Or perhaps you say to yourself, if only I had a little more money, a more secure or better paying job, then I would be assured. Then I would be secure. Yes, might be a blessing to have these things. But let's learn from history. Let's learn from those who have these things in abundance. In the early 1900s, we have people like Henry Ford and J.D. Rockefeller who said uniformly that the richer they got, in fact, the more miserable they actually became. They kind of wished for the days when they had very little. Or we can go further back in time to the scriptures and consider the example of King Solomon, a man who had wealth beyond our wildest dreams. He had everything at his disposal. It was amazing, and yet he looks at everything he has, and in Ecclesiastes, what does he say about it? Meaningless, empty, chasing after the wind. You name the idol. In history will give us examples of how impotent that idol can be to come through for us when it matters. And all the while, as we elevate these things, these gifts from God that we abuse by putting in the place of God and trusting in them, we miss out. We miss out on the comfort that comes from knowing and trusting in God above all things. The breathtaking, magnificent God who reveals himself in the Bible and in the person of Jesus takes up less and less space in our hearts and in our minds. We underestimate him. We underestimate his power. We underestimate his love. We forget his promises. And we start to worry. We worry about ourselves. We worry about our families. We worry about our nation. We worry about the future. what else is worry, really, than a belittling of God, who is far bigger and more capable of providing for our needs, for the needs of His church and for the needs of His creation than we could ever imagine. You see, worry is not innocent. It is actively engaging thoughts that disregard the Father who loves us and the Son to whom we are connected and in whom we have everything. Worry robs you of comfort. It fools us into thinking that we have some level of control when we do not. And it blinds us to everything that God has revealed about Himself in Jesus. That He is with us. That He is for us. That He is working all things for the good of those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose. And that He's big enough. And that He's strong enough. And wise enough. And glorious enough to redeem us in every circumstance of our lives. Worry imagines an uncertain future and a small God. Comfort, on the other hand, flows from knowing God as He truly is, greater and more powerful than you could ever imagine, and good, so good, full of love for you and for me. And so God will comfort His people of old, stuck in their sin, stuck in Babylon, reminding them of His power and of His faithfulness to His promises to restore them and to give them a Savior. And the same God speaks to you through His Word today to bring us assurance, real comfort. Do you feel sometimes like God is small? Or perhaps that He doesn't care? That somehow He's missing you and your situation? And listen to what He has to say a little bit later in Isaiah chapter 40. I'm going to start with verse 27. This is what God speaks through His prophet. He says, "Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, 'My way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God'?" Have you ever felt like that? "Do you not know," God says, "have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and His understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint." The God who comes to save, who comes to win forgiveness, who comes to strengthen you for the journey of this life in order that He would be glorified, is a huge God. He will be born for sure in lowliness, but He will be praised by heaven's angel armies. He will be wrapped in mortal human flesh and at His birth in swaddling clothes, but at the same time sustain the universe by His power. He will be obedient to human parents. But one day every knee will bow to Him. He will make Himself nothing at the cross. But from beginning to end, He will be too big, too great, too gloriously faithful to fail. The proof is in the empty tomb. He will not fail His Father, and He will not fail you. He has enormous forgiveness for your sin. He has enormous power for your weakness. He has enormous things in store for those who trust in Him. Our Savior does not forget you, and He is not small. He's coming. Take comfort. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and minds this day and always, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.